People of Grace Lutheran Church, it's good to be with you. It's good to be here today. I know it's good for you to be here today. You're excited to be here today because today, in a few moments, you'll once again have a pastor. Well, I know you haven't been without pastoral support. Ever since Pastor Brooks retired, you've had people who have come and served in an interim capacity, supporting you and shepherding your pastoral needs. You've had someone here for that. Thanks be to God for those gifts. But today, at the end of the service, you'll have a fully fledged, bona fide, in place, settled pastor. And after navigating through the call process that takes many, many months in trusting and waiting on the Lord and waiting some more, I imagine for many of you, this day feels like a victory of sorts. The Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah was singing a song about victory. He sang a song about when good news comes, because the victory is being told to the people, it's being heralded, it's being published to the people. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring that good news. Good news of salvation, who published the news of peace, who'd say to Zion, your God reigns. And almost like an anniversary celebration of the coming of that good news, the Apostle Paul picks it up in the epistle lesson for today in Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And he sings the same song, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Those two passages, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, Romans chapter 10, verse 15, they'll be the text passages for this message. When Isaiah first sang that song, in Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah was envisioning a time when God's people were being told that their warfare is over, the battle is ended. And it wasn't just something that came in Isaiah 52, this is something the Lord had said back in Isaiah chapter 40. So Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 2, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and say to her, her warfare is ended. And now in Isaiah 52, Isaiah sees an image of that messenger carrying that news of the Lord over the mountains, bringing it to Zion. That message that says, your God reigns. And so Isaiah begins singing that song because the battle's over. The warfare is ended. Can you imagine what that's like? It's hard to imagine. And maybe it was something like the ticker tape parades that broke out all across America when World War II ended in Europe. That kind of a celebration. You know, the end of World War II is going to have its 80th anniversary this next year, 2025. And still, since then, I don't think there's been a victory celebration quite like those that happened at the end of World War II. Not that I'm trying to compare the end of your vacancy to your warfare. I don't know, maybe it was contentious sometimes during those couple years, because that's kind of what it's like for the people of God. When anxieties are high and there's so many different opinions and perspectives to try to bring in, and then just the relational tensions that happen between people that are not unfamiliar to other congregations who've also been in that same situation. But still, I hope you don't characterize that whole time as being a battle. And yet, even for Isaiah, when Isaiah talks about this warfare ending in Isaiah 52, that's just the image. Under the image is a spiritual reality, and the spiritual reality isn't just about a warfare ending. The spiritual reality is about the end of an oppressive dictatorship that people had been living under, and not sort of the political kind of fascist dictatorship that was wreaking havoc during the times of World War II. But the kind of dictatorship that Paul calls in Romans chapter 10, the righteousness that is of the law. It's what he called it in Romans 10, verse 5, just a little bit before our epistle reading. Our epistle reading in the service folder for today says that it's verses 10 to 14. Actually, it's, or 14 to 17. It's actually starting at verse 8, and it runs verses 8 to 17. But just a couple verses before that in verse 5, Paul talks a little bit about the righteousness that is of the law. And how different that is from what he says in verse 6 is the righteousness that is by faith. The righteousness of the law, he says in Romans chapter 10, verse 5, is that the person who does the commandment shall live by it. Doesn't sound all that bad to live under. Except there's a dictator that's living under that prescription that rises to life whenever the one who has the commandment tries to live by it. Paul recognized this in his own life. So if we go back in Romans from chapter 10 through chapter 9 to chapter 8 to chapter 7, verses 8 and 9, we hear about it. Paul says, before the commandment came, I was alive apart from the law. And then when commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. And the very commandment that promised life actually proved death to me. For sin, seizing the opportunity that was afforded it in the commandment, deceived me and put me to death. Romans chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. Paul considers himself a casualty of that dictatorship of sin that takes place under the righteousness that is of the law. And he doesn't see himself as the only casualty of that. He sees himself as just one of a worldwide set of casualties that every person has been implicated in. So now track back with me again. We're just kind of getting a run at that epistle lesson, Romans chapter 10. So we were in chapter 7. Go back all the way to chapter 3. Paul says, whatever the law has to say, Romans 3, verse 19, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. And Romans 3, verse 20, the whole world held accountable to God, because through the law comes knowledge of sin. This oppressive regime that we've been living under, that people have been living under, it's not just something that was taking place in one part of the world during a couple decades in the middle of the 20th century, but it's something that has been touching people's lives and affecting people for the whole course of human history in every part of the world, even in Caldwell, Idaho. People have been living under this oppression of the righteousness that is of the law. And so Paul is introducing us in Romans chapter 10 to some good news about a righteousness that is by faith. The righteousness that is by faith does not see itself as having yet to win the battle, because the battle has been won. This is what Isaiah sees coming. This is why Isaiah heralds this message of the Lord. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and say to her that her warfare has ended. See, it's all about the dictatorship of sin. The next thing he says, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2, is her iniquity is pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. She's received double pardon. There's no more dictatorship of sin under this righteousness of the law. And that's why it's such good news to celebrate when somebody has been set apart to proclaim. Good news. When somebody's been set apart to proclaim this good news, to be the heralder, to be the publisher of it. And I'm sure that you're going to be publishing this news about today somewhere. I'm sure it's going to be published in the next newsletter that Grace Lutheran puts out, whether that's an e-newsletter or it's in print. Maybe you'll even want to try to publish it in some way so that people here in the Caldwell, Idaho area know about it. But that's what Isaiah is talking about in Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful, the feet of the one who brings the good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. You know, the people who are living under the oppression of World War II, those who had been defeated, they couldn't save themselves. Those that were fallen territories, the occupied areas of Europe, the cities that were destroyed, the people who were living in concentration camps, there was no way they were saving themselves. That salvation had to come in from the outside. And it did come from the outside. And it was celebrated. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And it's why he picks up Isaiah's song from Isaiah chapter 52 and brings it into Romans chapter 10. Because that salvation has come to us from the outside, and there's nothing that we could do to earn it or attain it. And so Paul says, the righteousness that is by faith stops saying, what can I do? That's the righteousness that is of the law. But the righteousness of faith does not say, Paul says, who will ascend to heaven so as to bring Christ down? Nor does the righteousness of faith say, well, who will descend into the abyss so as to bring Christ up? Because the righteousness that is by faith knows. And this is what you get to share as a preacher of the gospel, Jason, that Christ has already come down. And he has already come near and close to every person here in Caldwell, Idaho. And he has already risen up from the dead. He has already defeated that evil regime. And Jason, you are being set apart as the herald, the chronicler, the one who publishes that good news of peace. Your presence here, the reason that God has called you through this people to be in this place, is to be the one who shares the message of comfort so that people know that Jesus already, in his suffering and his death, dealt doubly for their iniquity so that they can receive comfort, comfort from you. It's your role to reassure them of that message. And what a joy it is just to be able to bring comfort to people, the comfort of the good news of Christ Jesus, the comfort of the righteousness that is by faith, to be able to tell people, as Paul said in our lesson for today, what does the righteousness that is by faith say? This is the first verse of our epistle lesson. What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Jason, you have the opportunity to remind these people of God that the word of Christ has already come to them. It's already in their heart. It's already in their mouth. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. With the mouth one speaks, confesses, and is saved. This is starting at verse 10 of Romans chapter 10. And Paul says that's for everyone. Because the scripture has said, everyone who believes will not be put to shame. And so there's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, and the Lord bestows his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It gets us down through verse 12. Your role, Jason, is to be able to reassure the people of that message of salvation. But imagine for a moment. Imagine you were one of those who was living under the oppressive regime in those times back during World War II. Let's say that you were even living as a prisoner, in a prisoner of war camp or a concentration camp, and the war was over, but you hadn't yet heard the news. There you were, living still, suffering under oppression as a captive, when all the while, freedom, peace, and comfort were available to you? That would be the ultimate atrocity. So, people of Grace Lutheran Church, how many people do you imagine here in the Caldwell community are still living under that oppressive regime of the righteousness that is of the law? And let me clarify for a moment what I'm asking. I'm not asking how many people out there have made a religion of trying to earn their way to heaven. I'm not asking that question because I think that era of Christendom has long since passed. Most people aren't asking that question anymore. But you don't have to be a follower of any kind of religion to be living under the righteousness that is of the law. How many people out there in Caldwell, Idaho are still living under the righteousness that is of the law? In other words, how many people are living under the burden of trying to meet somebody else's expectations for the sake of their own self-worth? Yeah, that's the righteousness that is of the law. How many people are out there living under the oppression of the hope that if they just do enough good things that the tide is going to turn for them in this life in some way, things are going to get better? Yeah, that's the righteousness that is of the law. And how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news, who publish peace, who bring good news of salvation. The good news that we have a righteousness that is by faith. The good news that Christ's suffering and death has already put an end to the law for us, And that sin and its oppressive regime is gone. And now we live alive in Christ Jesus. And Jason, you have the opportunity to share that good news. People of Grace Lutheran Church in Caldwell, Idaho, Pastor Gulledge will be your pastor. But this news is not just for you. This is his news to proclaim among you and among all the people here in Caldwell, Idaho, well beyond this church. Jason, I know you've been a pastor for quite some time, and you were in church work even before you became a pastor. And so you knew this well going in, that even those who have the beautiful feet that bring the gospel find those feet trail worn at times. When the burdens of bearing the griefs of the people of God, when the uncertainties of dealing with peacemaking among God's people, when the anxieties of leadership amid your own doubts regarding your skills as a leader, when the busyness of the calendar of this place, when the impossible balance between ministry and home life with children and family seems like it's getting priorities out of order. And you know those priorities. They are God, spouse, family, children, then the ministry. And when your own faith life feels like your spiritual walk in Christ Jesus is just drying up, you know all those things can pile up at one time in a preacher's life. And when you do, it's going to feel like your beautiful feet are sore and aching. And every one of these pastors who's sitting on this side of the aisle and Pastor Brooks here know what that's like, and they're here to support you and encourage you when you're in that moment. But so is the writer to the Hebrews. I think he had some pastoral experience. We don't know exactly who it was, but I'm pretty sure he did, because in Hebrews chapter 11, he chronicles what it means to have the righteousness that is by faith, and he chronicles all those who have lived by faith through all the centuries, all the way up until his time and day. And then, that's chapter 11, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, he said, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, and this, by the way, was President Paul Linneman, who's now emeritus, and I'm just standing in new shoes today because this is where he would have been. This was the tagline at the bottom of every one of his emails. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us cast off the weights and every sin that so easily entangles, and fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so the writer of Hebrews goes on in verse 3 to say, therefore consider him who endured such hostility, so that you will not grow weary or disheartened. In other words, when you hit those moments in ministry, drop everything else and turn to Jesus. Listen to Jesus and be reminded by him that he is the Lord of the church. He's the one who wins the battle. He's the one who brings the victory. And you're just the messenger. And when your focus is on him, he'll put everything else back in the right order. People of Grace Lutheran Church here in Caldwell, Idaho, serving as that messenger of the gospel, not only to the people of the congregation that's called you, but to the entire community around the congregation, is a very arduous and demanding task. But that's the calling that God has given. And so I invite you to recognize, one, no pastor is up for that task. Not the pastor you've called, not your former pastor, not any of the pastors who are up here. We are all people, and we all need grace too. And it's only by God's grace that the ministry is accomplished. And you, as the people of Grace Lutheran Church in Caldwell, can be conduits of that grace in your pastor's life. You can be conduits of that grace by giving him time to be with his family, by not putting on him too many undue burdens and expectations, and by becoming full partners with him in this ministry of the gospel. Oh, and that last one, becoming full partners with him in this ministry of the gospel, that one is really important, because this day, with all its pomp and circumstance and all us pastors here in our robes and in our red stoles and us marching down the aisle and the formality of it all of this can really easily convey the message that, you know, Pastor Jason Gulich is being set apart today to be the messenger of Christ, to carry this message of good news of the gospel. And because he's being set apart today to do it, then it's his job. Or even worse, that is only his job. Well, to be truthful to you, this day is a public affirmation, a celebration that Pastor Gulich has been set apart. It was pointed out to me at the beginning of the service that it says here, ordination and installation of Reverend Jason Gulich. Jason has been ordained already. He's been serving as a pastor. But you will see a reaffirmation of those ordination vows in just a few minutes. It's a part of every installation service. But he has been set apart, called by God through you, the church, to be here serving that ministry of the gospel on your behalf and among you in this place. But that shouldn't stop you from sharing that gospel message as well. Did you know that the first person to carry the message of the end of World War II to the Western Hemisphere was ousted for it? Yeah, that's right. So the journalist who wrote the story that shared with the North America that VE Day had happened in Europe had his career ruined over it. You say, what? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, right? Well, not for Edward Kennedy. Edward Kennedy was a journalist with the Associated Press. On May 6, 1945, he was invited to go with another number of other journalists overseas to France to eyewitness the signing of the end of the war with Germany. And after witnessing that, all the news journalists who were gathered together there at Marseille were given 36-hour order of secrecy by the military leaders of the Allied countries, because they had some grand plan for how they wanted to unveil the news. So Edward Kennedy went back to his hotel room in Paris that night, and then he heard on the news that it was already spreading in Germany. So he picked up the phone and he called the Associated Press office in London, who contacted his editor at the Associated Press office in New York, and his article ran in the New York Times the very next morning. He was the first reporter to publicly announce to an allied country, the scoop of the century, that the war was over. And all of his colleagues were disgusted with him over it, because he had subverted these official orders and got this jump on all of them and sharing the scoop. And so they complained to the Associated Press, and the Associated Press suspended him and later fired him. Perhaps you recall times in Jesus' ministry, like when he was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus had told his disciples, don't tell anyone the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The gag order has been lifted. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Paul said it in our epistle lesson for today, and you know it, and Christians have been sharing this news. Disciples of Jesus have been sharing this news for 2,000 years, and we should be sharing it too. Yes, your pastor, Jason Gulich, because he has been called by God through you to speak that word on your behalf and among you, but you too. And he's not going to oust you for it. I'm sure he'll be excited to hear that you've been telling your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers and others this news that we have a righteousness that is by faith. Do you know why the news about the end of World War II spread so fast? It wasn't because of the official news and press reports. Those came out for sure, but most people heard about it before it did, because they had heard by word of mouth, one person in their joy telling another. And the Associated Press eventually apologized for the way they had treated Edward Kennedy. But they didn't do it until the next century. It was in 2012. He had been dead already for decades by the time they apologized. Brothers and sisters in Christ, no one is going to oust you for sharing this message. Least of all, not your new-to-be-installed pastor. He'll be very excited to partner with you in that ministry. And actually, this is the most beautiful thing about carrying this good news, is that it's something the people of God, pastor and lay people, do together. In Jesus' name, amen.